briefly, this is what I'm going to talk about, give you a little bit of background about the Cape Reynolds Charitable Trust. And we knew nothing about domestic violence. I definitely am still not a expert, but a case example of how you all who work in that field can partner with a funder to impact policy issues. And then briefly discuss a private foundation's potential role in policy development. And time will not allow, but I did throw in some tips for working with foundations, and you can just read those at your leisure later. The Cape Reynolds Charitable Trust, where I work, is based in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We are a statewide private foundation that only funds in North Carolina. And so don't attack me after if you don't live in North Carolina. We do fund healthcare focus, providing about $30 million a year toward programs that benefit low-income individuals. What happened a couple years ago is that we were approached by the North Carolina Center for Public Policy Research. This is an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit corporation in Raleigh that does research and evaluates state programs and studies public policy issues. And that it just so happened that the stars were aligned around the issues of domestic violence in our state at the time. At the trust, the foundation staff, we were being approached by many local shelters and providers because their federal funds were being cut. At the same time, the grantees that we had in the area of mental health and substance abuse, we were hearing a lot about clients coming there who were offenders and also victims. And so it was really sort of in our face that there needed to be something done in domestic violence in North Carolina. At the same time, the Center for Public Policy was seeing legislators' interest bubbling up there. There was some work that had been done by the North Carolina Council on Women and the Commission on Domestic Violence. So all of these organizations were doing work, and at that time we felt like that it would be good if some nonpartisan policy research could take place that could possibly make a difference. That being said, we entertained a proposal from the center. And we made a grant for 1 year in the amount of $82,500. Really a smaller grant for what we normally make with these objectives in mind. So quite a good value for the money. They proposed to conduct research on key policy issues affecting victims of domestic violence, to raise the level of public debate and move the issues of domestic violence on the public agenda, and finally to clarify which policy issues needed to be addressed and brought to the attention of public officials and with some improvements. Now, after the 1 year program, this is what we got, the outcomes. For the first objective, which was to conduct the research, the center produced a major 89-page study and published it in North Carolina Insight. And this publication was sent to all 700 media outlets in North Carolina, as well as the 700 members of the center and their 160 contributors. The research outcomes in the publication really showed the extent of domestic violence in North Carolina. Before this time, we really didn't have a strong grasp of what the problem was. And of course, what we found some alarming rates there. We had 224 domestic violence-related deaths between 2004. North Carolina had been among the top 10 states in homicide rates for females murdered by males in 5 of the 6 years from 97 to 2002. And then we found that conviction rates on domestic violence charges differed widely among counties. The other piece that we got from the research was the information about the demand for services and the gaps in services. The demand for services showed that in 2003, nearly 45,000 individuals sought services in one of the 90 local domestic violence agencies. Also, we saw that 17 counties had no shelter, so 17 out of the 100 counties had no facility, and the counties that did have a facility or a safe house, it was often too small and women were often turned away. Abuser treatment programs were only available in 66 out of 100 counties. And family courts were available in only 8 judicial districts in 16 counties. Regarding the second outcome, to raise the public debate, I mentioned the publication that was broadly distributed to media outlets. As a result, in the first week after releasing the study in March of 2005, The grantee gained statewide coverage on 90 radio stations in the North Carolina Radio News Network and did half-hour to one-hour radio programs on 4 stations. So the issue hit the press. And then the third outcome, which is the most exciting, where some public policy recommendations were made, the report issued 9 recommendations, and I'm happy to report that several of these have actually been enacted into law. First, in 2005, the legislator created a new joint legislative study commission on domestic violence with both House and Senate members. So this created some legislative champions that could keep the momentum moving on this issue. Also, the state they recommended that the state expand family courts statewide because those types of courts have a record of being able to handle all domestic violence issues. So at the time, only 16 of North Carolina's 100 counties had family courts. And it was put into law that family courts be expanded statewide. Though with the caveat phrase of as resources allow, still the legislative commitment is there to do this. In 2006, we gained passage of legislation implementing 3 more recommendations from the study on domestic violence. One was the creation of a new family court in Wake County, which is the where Raleigh, the capital, is based, with recurring funding appropriated for that court. Second was the appropriation of $350,000 in recurring funds to the Department of Administration for new safe houses. And C, continuation of the Joint House and Senate Legislation Study on Domestic Violence. And then in 2007, the General Assembly enacted legislation recommended by the Center to require the reporting of domestic violence homicides. Surprisingly, this data did not exist when the Center first started doing their research. There's other legislation that is moving toward passage in 2008 that's very exciting. Now, KB Reynolds has been in business for 60 years, has been a very conservative type of foundation that has traditionally just funded direct services, not a advocacy type supporter. So this is really sort of new and out of the box for us. But it has opened a door. And so the reason that I wanted to come speak today is because I feel like if we can talk about funding more policy and advocacy issues, then maybe that can begin to happen more. And so in doing some research, I found this great document that is called Private Foundations and Their Role in Policy. There are 3 major phases of public policy development: investigative, the action for change phase, and the implementation phase. And foundations can have a role in any of these phases. In the presentation, I list the resource for this document. So as you're working on grassroots change, policy changes, look to see where you can partner with a foundation on some of these in some of these phases. The first phase here is the investigative phase, where you identify the problem and determine who is affected. And then you gather information about what options and solutions exist, and then bring together key players to discuss the issue. This is just ideal for a foundation. We love talking about problems and bringing people together. So when you begin developing some public policy change work that you're working on, partner with a foundation. This is a great role for a foundation. In the second phase, the action for change phase, this is when the plan for public policy and civic action is actually established. And you build the capacity of groups to engage in advocacy, and then you organize and mobilize activities to influence government, media, and other decision makers. There's also a role for foundations at this level of policy change. For example, a foundation can make planning grants to organizations to develop ideas and strategies for policy options. A foundation can make grants and also provide staff support time. Foundation staff are available to serve on task force committees, so I encourage you to contact your local and state foundations and involve them in the work that you're doing. And finally, the implementation phase. Depending on the characteristic of a foundation or what their preference and comfort level is, this may be the most appropriate phase. I know the foundation where I work, we prefer to be on the implementation side. So when it's actually time to take that research or that policy change and put it into practice, this could be a key place for to obtain funding from a foundation. How am I doing on time? Okay. Good. I included in my presentation some tips for working with foundations. This is usually the funny part of my presentation that I'm going to kind of skip over. But just in talking with colleagues and, you know, and how we gripe about how folks approach us and everything, just kidding, you know, with that. But there really are some ways to work with foundations. And foundations really, I can't speak for everyone, but we really want to be a partner. And if we're not involved at the grassroots level, it's often because we don't know. Cape Fear Rentals, we try to go out to regional meetings and to in the areas that we cover and participate in public forums to kind of know what's going on at the grassroots level. But I want to encourage you as folks who are in the field possibly to take that step to educate your foundations and to pull them in on the team. So there's just some tips here, kind of what I call do's and don'ts for working with foundations. In closing, those you can print those out from offline. They're pretty self-explanatory. In closing, I want to just leave you with this quote. Gary Yates, the president and CEO of the California Wellness Foundation, said, "Through our public policy grantees, we have seen policies enacted that can improve the health of far more Californians if we could ever hope to have reach than we could ever have hoped to reach through funding direct services alone." So funding public policy is definitely a better bang for the buck, a better investment for a foundation. And so take that argument to your foundations when you're looking to get funding for your advocacy work. Thank you very much.